Turn with me this morning to the letter, if I may call it the letter of Lamentations. I could have said the book of Lamentations, but you don't make a book of two or three pages. So if you allow me to call it the letter of Lamentations in the Old Testament, it is held in sandwich between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, but it's a wonderful book. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And I'm reading verse 21. And it says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So this morning and this evening, I have what I may call an inspired title, because it is from the Word of God. And I'm sure you believe that nobody is inspired. Only the Bible is inspired. So my title is, "Great is your faithfulness." Great, of course, is God's faithfulness. And I will do my best to explain this in a simple way. My dear friends, in 586 BC, the city of Jerusalem was besieged. It was a heavy siege, and the city was burned. Many people were killed. Some were taken into captivity, and they were treated like nothing. They were treated like dust. The temple, which was the place where God was met, the heart of worship, was ransacked. And there were cases, I don't have time to show you the verses, but throughout the book of Jeremiah in 2 Kings, you find the historical record of that destruction. And you find cases of cannibalism. You find manslaughter. It was devastation. It was destruction. It was deportation. But more than that, it was a spiritual decline. And people, the people of God, of course, were wondering, has God deserted us? That's the question. But for you and me this morning, when we hear what is happening in this world, you ask yourself, where is God in all this? Why is this happening? And the simple answer, if you ask yourself from the book of Jeremiah, from the letter or the book of Lamentations, the only reason or the only answer we can give is because of disobedience. One word, disobedience. Because for 40 years, Jeremiah kept preaching the word of God to the people. For 40 years. And he gave them many, many warnings. But the people continuously, grievously sinned against God. And they refused to heed to the word of God. Now, this is really just in words of introduction. But my dear brothers and sisters, we know when we read the Bible that God has a rod. Yes, we know also that God uses his rod to comfort us, to guide us, to defend us, to protect us. But there are times when that rod is also used to discipline us. And that's why we read from the word of God, we should not despise discipline. Hebrews 30, chapter 13, verse 5 and so on. We should not despise, or Hebrews chapter 12, I think, one of those, 12 or 13, easy to find. But we should not despise God's discipline. But why am I telling you this in terms of introduction before we come to the verses? All what is happening, the people have been told beforehand. So, for you and me, as believers, when we read in the Word of God, I often say, nothing should take me by surprise. Because God said it all. When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 28, God said to them, in obedience you will be blessed. In disobedience you will be taken into captivity. You will be made slaves because of disobedience. But you are obedient, God is going to bless you, God is going to be with you, His presence will never be taken away from you. That's what we read in the Word of God. So why is this happening? Disobedience. Why is this happening? Because God will always fulfill His word. So as you come to Lamentation, this is, I believe, Jeremiah's addendum to his book, to the book of Jeremiah. But you see, how many sermons you heard on the book of Lamentation? How many? Very hard. Why? Because its message is not welcomed by our world. The message of Lamentations is not palatable to our world today. It's not even palatable to churches. Because our world, and even churches nowadays, they don't want to hear any warning. Please, preacher, give us comfort. Give us comfort. We want to hear good things to lift up our souls. Speak to us only about God is love, God is love, God is love. Like the world, exactly. This is what the world is expecting and this is the world is looking for. Just speak about love. But my dear friends, the book of Lamentations, I believe, is very intense. Very intense. It is, if you allow me, I hope I use carefully my words, it is a gloomy book. It is a dark book. It is hard to preach Lamentations with a smile. But guess what? From time to time, there are glimmers of light. There are glimmers of hope. There are glimmers of joy. Are you a complainer? Are you a grumbling person or a grumpy person? Please read often Lamentations. You know, with us as believers, we know that. You don't have to teach anyone how to complain. Don't teach it to your child. He will learn it. But if only our prayers and our thanksgiving is as loud as our complaining, I'm sure things will be different in our personal lives. But also, have you met a proud Christian? It's a paradox, actually, to say a proud and Christian. The two don't match. Pride and the Christian, they don't go together. But if ever you meet a proud Christian, please invite him to read the book of Lamentations. It will take you to your knees before the Lord. But what is happening in the book of Lamentations? Just few words before again we dive into the few verses I have in mind for our I call it devotion. It's really devotional. That's where I want to draw your attention. And I'm sure when I said Lamentations, you may have said, oh, is this a text for a celebration, for a church anniversary? But we need to remember where we came from in order to know where we are going. So the weeping prophet writes five laments. And when you read these five chapters, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4, starts in the same way, with the same word actually. Sorrow is penned, is written in poetry. The world wouldn't appreciate that. But you can see pain, affliction, sorrow, trouble is written in an acrostic style. Why I'm saying that? Because in the five chapters of Lamentations, the writer chose in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter 4, and in chapter 5 to give to every Hebrew letter, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, he gave one verse. But when you come to Lamentations chapter 3, it's not anymore one verse for a letter, because here the pain is more intense. Three verses for one letter. 66 verses, because the pain was very hard to bear. So, I don't know most of the people here. Maybe I'm saying something which will be a help to you. You went down, down, down. Read Lamentations. It will lift up your soul. Whatever trouble, whatever anguish, whatever affliction, whatever downcast, whatever discouragement you are going through as a believer. This is the alphabet of affliction, but please, I don't stop there. This is the alphabet, the A to Z of affliction, but also its remedy. Its remedy. And I hope I will show you from Lamentations that all our afflictions, all our troubles have a remedy from the Lord. He gave us the cure. Oh, God is good, my dear brothers and sisters. He hasn't left us to ourselves. Otherwise, we are already finished. But God will show great mercy in this letter. So I believe Jeremiah is an honest prophet. He's an honest man. Please listen to what he says about himself. Listen to this honest man who is speaking on our behalf. He's speaking for you and me before God. And remember, this is the weeping prophet, and he suffered. He suffered for what? He suffered because he is just a human being. He suffered because he was a servant of the living God. But without any delay, look at the man. The first thing he says in verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Verse 2, he has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Verse 3, surely he had turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. Verse 4, he has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. This is a man who was going through time of sorrow, hard time, great affliction. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, you don't need a preacher to tell you that life is troublesome. Life is hard. Everything seemed to be against Jeremiah. Everything was heavy and dark upon him. He cried out for help. But it seems, verse 8, he cried out for help, and this surely happened to you and me many times. We cry for help and it seems no one is there. Even this week, and I'm sure as you know, I do a lot of one-to-one with, dozens and dozens of people. And This young lady was telling me, I cried to the Lord, but it seems he's not there. What shall I do? And in verse 8 he says, even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. I cried for help. There was a heavy hand upon me. But you see, instead of a rod of comfort, verse 10, look at verse 10. I don't have time to show you every verse. I have selected just a few of them. But in verse 10, this man, Jeremiah, sees God now. But I said God is not yet mentioned. I will come to it. But in verse 10 he says, God became to me like a bear, laying in wait. And in the same verse, verse 10, he says, God became like a lion ready to torn my body into pieces. Is there any hope? Is there any hope for you and me as you read these verses? And in verse 15, Jeremiah became a bitter man. In verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. This is a broken man. And in verse 17, he says, I have lost any sense of peace, any sense of prosperity, any sense of happiness. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. But my dear friends, I don't want to detain you for too long. This is deep matters. In verse 18, for the first time the name of God is mentioned. I said the name of God. God was already there mentioned. But now in verse 18 he speaks about the Lord in capital letters. The Lord, Jehovah, the covenant God, the everlasting and everlasting God. I have lost any sense of peace. Jeremiah, maybe this has happened to you. Now you have your back against the wall. Nowhere to go. Everything seems dark. But in verse 18, something happens. There is a change. In verse 18, and I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. And this man starts now to think. You see, so far it's all, I am this, this is happening to me, my soul is at this point, my body is at this point. But now, when you come to verse 21, Jeremiah is not looking anymore unto himself. He thinks about his soul. Instead of looking at his own circumstances, he lifts up his eyes away from the situation. And verse 19 and 20, please, these are great verses. Remember my affliction, verse 19. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sink within me. And in verse 21, this is a key verse. This I recall. This I remember. Verse 21, therefore I have hope. My dear friends, I hope you see the paradigm, the new the change, the transformation of this man. But where did the hope came from? Did he made it up? Did someone come and knock at the door and say, Jeremiah, wake up? What happened? He started to think. He started to remember. Oh, my dear friends, that's the first key. That's the first application we can make here. That when you are going through affliction, please sit down, think, remember, and pray. There is always hope for a man who sits, thinks, and prays. And this is what we see in Jeremiah here. My dear friends, he redirects his thoughts. He diverts his thoughts. His thoughts are not anymore on him. His thoughts are not anymore on his condition. His thoughts are not anymore on his circumstances. His thoughts are not anymore on his situation. Because if you look at the situation, if you look at your circumstances, you will be crushed. But he lifted up his eyes now. He lifted up his mind. And my dear brothers and sisters, can I make a second application here? Weak faith is forgetful, but strong faith remembers. I wish I could take you through many verses this morning where the word remember is mentioned. But just to mention one or two of them. So many times, Jude verse 17, the writer there, Jude says, remember the words of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says to Timothy, remember the Lord Jesus Christ of the posterity of David. And you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, take this in remembrance of me and do it as often. To do what? To remember him. Remember the Lord's day and sanctify it. But remember also that you and me, we were slaves in Egypt. Sometimes we have forgotten where the Lord has dragged us from. We have forgotten. That's why pride takes over. I often say, if you find another proud Christian, take him to Titus 3, verse 3. He will be crushed. That shows our real identity without the grace of God, without the mercy of the Lord, without salvation. My dear friends, remember, that's the first thing Jeremiah does here to fight against his affliction. The church, in celebrating its anniversary, should remember the promises of the Lord. We remember the promises of the Lord. And faith cleaves to what? If faith has nothing to cleave unto, it becomes a leap in the dark. But faith cleaves to God's promises. Count them. Count their number. Highlight those verses in your Bible. When you are downcast, you go to these passages and you can see. That's why I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. All God's promises unto us are given to you and me by the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him they are all fulfilled, and because he is the Amen of all God's promises. My brothers and sisters, anchor your faith on the Lord. Trust him. You know, hope is the anchor of faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Faith needs to cleave to something, and it cleaves to the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is always faithful. My dear brothers and sisters, we can say, and you can say it 1,000 times, things are bad, and they are bad. But how is it possible that suddenly, verse 22, suddenly, in verse 22, Jeremiah says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. How come? This is an affirmation. This is a great statement. This is an exclamation, really. But it is also a confession. Through the Lord's mercies, it's plural. You see, mercies, it doesn't say just mercy. Mercies, many of them, millions of them. People who speak, we need a second blessing. I often say to them, no, that's wrong. I don't need just a second blessing. I need 1,001 blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Second blessing? No, all spiritual blessings. And this man, now makes that confession. Verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. My dear brothers and sisters, it is all by grace. And I'm sure everyone here will agree that we are consumed with many things. If we are left to ourselves, we are consumed by our pride, our covetousness, our lust, our carnal desires, our evil thoughts, endless list. But we are not consumed. We are still here, breathing God's air, free of charge. His nature, appreciating His nature, free of charge. The Christian should be the most grateful person in this world. Through the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed. Please don't ask what is fair. People say, is it fair? Is it fair? Is God fair? If God wants really to be fair, you and me wouldn't be here at all. But the question, I hope nobody's thinking I'm too hard. The question is, are you teachable? Are we teachable people? My dear friends, our God, the God of the Bible, is always right. We are wrong. He is always righteous. We are the unrighteous ones. He is always right. You see, Satan will get a strong foothold in your life if he is able to make you to focus more on your predicament, on your situation. That's his strong. When he is able to say to you and you listen to him, and when he's saying, if there is God, why is this happening to you? But as a believer, you know my answer is, these things are happening to us to show us that indeed God is with us. If nothing is happening to you and me, then God has forsaken you indeed. But things come to you and me to show that God indeed is there. He's at work. Because if everything is taken for granted, we would never appreciate anything. So we need to turn a deaf ear to his diabolic and satanic forgery when he speaks such things to us. The Lord, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, my dear brothers and sisters, the Lord is touched and moved with every one of our infirmities. He is our high priest. I wish I can say more there. I know time is flying. The only time I feel time is running is when I'm listening to the word of God. I don't know if the clock speeds up at that time, but it is real. Once important things are coming to my mind, suddenly we run out of time. But my dear friends, if I may just mention these things, there are seven pillars. I call them, this is how I shield myself when trouble come. The first one, God is my Father. The second, Christ is my Savior. The third, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. You can apply it, make it personal. The fourth, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The fifth one is the church. It's my family. We are brothers and sisters. The sixth one, worship is a delight. The seventh one, obedience is essential. So you can make your own list, but these things will help you just to remember, God is my Father, Christ is my Savior, the Holy Spirit is my Comforter, the Word of God, the Bible is my sword. I can use it. And the church is my family. I'm protected there. It's a refuge for you and me. But in verse 22 again, he says, because his compassions, in plural, His compassions fail not. They fail not. My dear friends, Bible says, can a mother forsake her nursing child? Psalm 103, the psalmist says, like a father, God pitieth his children. God does not chastise his children delightly. It's never with joy. Ephesians chapter 3, if I may just read, these are grand words. Paul says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. This is the power of the power. Great words. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us. My dear friends, God is never far, even when our world is upside down. But you can see that in verse 23, there is something new. That God's mercies and compassions, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. My dear friends, something that is constant, something that is permanent, is it new? You have it every day, but you see with God, this is a miracle actually, that God's mercies, God's compassions are new every morning. Why? First of all, God is great. God is glorious. But also second, all his mercies and compassions, they come from above the sun. Because it is said in the Bible, there is nothing new under the sun. But God's mercies and compassion come from above the sun. From his throne of grace. So, with him, things are never dull, boring, or tasteless. My dear friends, this is a call for you and me to seek the Lord daily, to repent daily. We need the bread of life at our conversion, but we need also the bread of life to sustain our lives. My dear brothers and sisters, I call the Christian life work in progress, permanent renovation. The scaffolding should never be off in the Christian life. Always in work. Always at work. In your personal life, but also in serving the Lord. Some Christians, they retire. Now it's done. No, never. Until the grave. Until the grave. Until you are called by the Lord. Work in progress. But Jeremiah was a man of faith. He woke up every morning believing that God will meet his needs because God cares. Every morning, my friends, bring new surprises, new worries, new anxiety. You see, I'm not telling you just good things to hear. Oh yes, every day comes with new worries, new anxieties, new surprises, new opportunities, new responsibilities, new instrumentality, new blessings. But also new mercies. My friend, this week, seek for a new opportunity. Every day you wake up, seek for a new opportunity to serve the Lord. It is not because something is not shining that it is not new anymore. It shines until the day you get a new one. It is always new. So we look unto the Lord. It is new, because God makes all things new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And one day, God is going to make, to bring about a new heaven and new earth. We can do a whole study on that word new, because God does it. And the prophet says, great is your faithfulness. He was enraptured. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance. God is faithful and will always be faithful. The standard in our world is what? Unfaithfulness, disloyalty, in marriages, disloyalty of preachers, they do not stick to the word of God. This is rampant in our society. What makes the pride of the society? Oh, I deceived him. I even met young people saying, I'm so happy today, I was wicked to him. But this is what is happening in our world. But no, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. God is faithful. He is great. All his attributes are great. When overcome by worries and anxiety, please remember the Lord. He is your life. The Lord is your portion and inheritance. Look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion. The people lost their land. They were taken into captivity. But now Jeremiah says, no, my portion, my inheritance is not a piece of land. It is God himself. And nothing can beat God. He is great. So under pressure, bereaved, at a loss, receiving heavy blows, we have this hope because God's character is merciful. He is faithful. He is good. And he gives salvation. No one has ever trusted the Lord in vain. Oh, these words were said in complete darkness. But this man sees the light. Will souls be won? Great is God's faithfulness. Will you make it to the end? Great is God's faithfulness. Now, I dare not close before mentioning something. Later, read Lamentations chapter 3. You will see Lamentation, the man there is not Jeremiah, is not you, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the man. Behold the suffering servant. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. You can make a whole list of the things the Lord Jesus Christ went through on the cross of Calvary. He suffered the punishment for our sins. His soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death. Behold the lonely man sweating blood, kissed by a traitor. Behold the spitting, the buffeting, the mocking, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the burdensome cross, the forsaking of the Father, the darkness, the thirst, the shame, the spiritual agony, all that for us. My friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, on that cross he suffered for every repentant sinner. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For every person who will trust in him. He was raised from the dead and was given glory that your faith and your hope might be in God, not in a man. Our response is to trust, to hope in him in silence. May the Lord bless these words to our souls. And I close by reading verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. May the Lord bless his word to our souls. Amen.